please. Okay, let's begin. We are learning Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed, Chesamed Aleph, and we are studying the sugyas of Bishul Akum. Now, the question that we have to do that we have to deal with tonight is what happens if you have a case where the Goy is cooking some and the Jew is cooking some? Is that considered Bishul Akum? And obviously, there are going to be various and sundry permutations that come up. Doesn't matter if the Goy starts and the Jew finishes. If the Goy finishes and the Jew starts, what does start mean? What does finish mean? In other words, is the cutoff point for Bishul Akum Macho Ben Drusoy, the beloved robber, or is the cutoff for Bishul Akum when it's Mevushal Kol Sarko, when it's completely cooked? And by extension, we have to deal with the fact that Ashkenazi Jewry has a massive kula that comes up in Bishul Akum that seems to be totally and thoroughly and completely against the Gemara, which is the kula of Hashlachas Kisim. No? Ashkenazi Jewry basically says, oh, all you gotta do is, you know, throw a little twig into the fire, and that will be hoof poof, Bishul Yisrael, amazing. And that's going to be very questionable. This question of Hashlachas Kisim is something that Jews have been fighting about for probably well over 1,000 years. And Jews continue to fight about it. Ad Hayom Hazeh, if you want to know the difference between some of the more reliable Hashgachas and some of the Hashgachos that when you call the OU, they'll say not recommended, it is Bishul Akum, no? Because we'll talk about as follows. One of the more well-known hashgachas, the Star K, has a kula for Bishul Akum that goes as follows, that they have a special heat-resistant light bulb that a Jew screws into the oven and is constantly giving fire, or heat, no? Constantly giving heat. That light bulb is always on. Now, that light bulb doesn't really heat the oven because the oven is going to get to 450, 500, 350, and the light bulb contributes something. But the Star K says, light bulb, amazing. Light bulb, best kula ever for Bishul Akum. No? That's a kula of the Star K. The IKC, which is the IKC, which is a hashgacha that sometimes Manhattan is known for having, Mindy could probably talk about this more intelligently than some others, but Manhattan has lots of people who are involved in the kashrus business. Some are reliable, some are not fully reliable. There is a hashgacha out there called the IKC. The IKC basically says that to solve the Bishul Akum problem, all you need is that a Jew plugs a power strip into the wall and turns the power strip on, the oven is going to be off the whole time, and the guy will turn on the oven, but since the oven only goes on because the Jew, you know what a power strip is? Yeah. It's like my computer only operates because I don't have enough outlets in the wall for my computer because I need my, right? Yeah, those things, like a surge protector. Well, where are those things? Like you plug it into the wall, and there's like 4 or 5 outlets that come out of it, and you have like a red light that says that this surge protector power strip is on, and the IKC says, hoof, poof, woof, and now we have Bishul Yisrael, right? And what we're going to have to figure out, la halacha, is whether this is correct or not, but in order to do that, we have to go all the way back to the beginning and learn the Gemara. Sounds like a plan? Okay, so let's go. Zakti Gemara. I have a four lines into the wide lines. Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Hinech Yisrael Basar Gabi Gecholim Upa Ove Kolchavim V'Hafach Bo Mutter. The Jew puts the meat on the coals, and the guy comes and turns it over. It's mutter. By the way, you see from this Gemara that there would, in theory, be a din of Bishul Akum, even though it's not what halachically we would consider cooking. This would be halachically what we would consider roasting. No. Basar gabe gecholim is probably like what you'd call a barbecue, no? You have meat on coals. I'm getting hungry already. But that's going to be mutter. The guy, right? The Jew puts the meat on the coals. The guy is hafach bo. What does hafach bo mean? Flips what? Flips the burger, no? How else could we learn hafach bo? That he stokes the coals, no? Now, l'cha'ira, if it would be stokes the coals, we need a dictukist, or whatever the official term is. If it would be stokes the coals, what would the term be? Hafach? Bum. Coals are plural, correct? You do not cook on one coal. It's kemat nachshayach, right? So the pashtus in this Gemara is hafach bo, meaning you turn over the meat. The Achronim say that this is going to be a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah, the Halacha, about what the word hafach is going on. That the Mechaber says we're only mekal in a case, again, in this case it's talking about that the Jew puts it on and the guy flips it. But in the reverse case, if the guy puts it on and the Jew flips it, when we're mekal, Mechaber says I'm only mekal if the Jew flips the burger. No? Flipping a burger is a necessary component in cooking, correct? Certain items only cook if you turn them over. Nachon? Flipping the coals might not be as necessary. The Ramah is understanding our Gemara, just like the first big kula in Judaism, which will take us through all of Judaism, at least all of Judaism tonight. The Ramah is saying that we're mekal because the word hafach is referring to turning over the coals, and that would be a kula. Again, in the reverse case, right? Let's go back into the Gemara. Zok the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Mishmo says, if a Jew puts the meat on the coals and a guy does some turning over, it's mutter. So Gemara asks, what's the case? If the case is that if the guy would not turn it over, it would still cook. So pshita. What's pshita? Duh. What's duh? Well, it should, of course, be mutter, because the Jew put it on. The guy's turning over of whatever, the meat, isn't doing anything. So, of course, it's mutter. Elalav di lo hafach, lo have a bushel. Elamai, the case is that the Jew puts it on the coals, but it's not going to cook. Why is it not going to cook? Because the coals are duds, no? The Jew puts the stuff on the coals, and it's not going to cook. And the only reason it cooks is because the guy does goyish magic. So the Gemara asks, am I mutter? Bishulei sho'akum ninhu. Why is it mutter? It's bisho'akum. Zos omeres. The Gemara is saying that if the Jew puts something on the fire, but it's not going to cook at all, right? And the guy does some goyish magic that makes a cook, so it is usher as bishul akum. Is that clear? Right? Put it in your pipes, smoke, inhale, and we will get back to this like in 3 minutes. Okay? Hi, Adina. How are you?
He doesn't think it's going to cook at all, or that it's, like, what if it's cooked slightly? I thought it was more like it's never going to become an edible cook.
So we will have to deal with that detail, like in 4 minutes. We have to go on in the Gemara. But at this point, the pashtus is it's not going to cook at all. It won't cook to the point when it's edible. You know, if it cooks to the point that it's not yet edible, right, that's garnished. That doesn't do anything. But the Gemara says, if a Jew puts it on the fire and it's not going to cook, and the guy does what's necessary for the thing to cook, so that would be called bishul akum. Lo tzericha di ilo hafech have a bashel betarti shayi. Vahashta ka bashel bechada shaita. Mahu detema kruve bishula milsehi kamash malon. Zok the Gemara. The case is the Jew puts it on the oven. The Jew puts it on the fire. And it will cook in 2 hours. The guy does kruve bishula. The guy does speeding up of the cooking, because of what the guy does, it cooks in 1 hour rather than 2 hours. I would have thought that Kruvei Beshula is halachically significant. Kamash Malan, the Chiddush of the Gemara is that Kruvei Beshula does not matter. Nachon? Hello, Mindy. Yeah, so I'm assuming that it's time because the Gemara's lashon is Tarti Shayv versus Chadashayta. Right? That question of cooking through and through or not is a related question, but I think it will complicate things too much. If we go in that direction, let's just focus on what the Gemara says, that Kruvei Beshula means it will cook quicker. Now, the Rishonim all point out that the Gemara, I think we mentioned this last time when we learned, we were in the Beis Din room last time, and I began to discuss this, and I noticed that everyone was looking at their watches trying to get out, because Yom Ha'atzmaut or something, so people wanted to rush. Yom Ha'atzmaut is supposed to be Gematria Bittul Torah, that's what they say, no? Is that true?
It's true.
It's supposed to, you actually worked it out?
668.
668, there you have it. Okay, math majors.
Not close.
But whatever it is, but the Gemara in Shavuos on Daf Yud Zayin speaks about a zar shahafach betzinora. What do we show them? Quote it. If you want to see a nice write up on this, the Ran over here has it. The Rush has it in Siman Lamed Beis. Also, the Gemara in Shavuos Yud Zayin says that Keruvei Bishula is considered an avoda. There's a case that, let's say, a non kohen is hafach. Let's say a non-Kohen goes and flips a piece of korban meat on the Mizbeach to make it speed up the cooking. Zok the Gemara, that's considered an avoda. Kruvei Beshula is an avoda. So everyone asks the Kasha, like, hello, what's going on? Over here we say Kruvei Beshula doesn't help, but there, by Zar, by avoda, we assume that Kruvei Beshula is something. So that's a steer that the Rishonim ask. And how did the Rishonim answer? Anyone remember what the Ran, Rosh, like everybody says the same thing about this? Adina?
In the case of
Bishul Akum, by Bishul Akum or Mekel. Bishul Akum is entirely an Isser Derabanan, so we're super duper Mekel by Bishul Akum. So Kruvei Bishula, right, this gives us a lot of latitude. What we're basically saying is, in this case, where the guy speeds up the cooking, it's garnished with garnished. It's not that, I have to translate, right? When the guy speeds up the cooking, it's nothing. Why? Because Bishul Akum, the guy speeding up the cooking, will forget about it. But over there, by the Zar, by Avoda, then it's significant. So this is a special kula for Bishul Akum. It's a special kula, that's what the Rush and the Ran all say. So far, so good. Now, Zok the Gemara weiter. V'ha'amar Rav Asi Amar Rav Yochanan. Koshu kemacho ben drusoi ein bo mishum bishulei akum. Ha'eno kemacho ben drusoi yesh bo mishum bishulei akum. What's the Gemara's kasha? Dun, 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 dun. Rachel?
I think they're saying that you can't make this blanket statement that, like, if it's just accelerating the cooking process, then it's mutter. Because we have this principle that if someone is accelerating the cooking process at the point where the meat is not yet up to Macho ben Drusai,
so it's going to still be usser. Right? Macho ben Drusai, again, means a third cooked, a half cooked. It's a machlokes, Rashi and the Rambam. By Bishul Akum, since we are super duper mekel, we nem'un, which is Yiddish for we assume, that it's a third cooked. So if the food is not yet a third cooked, there will be Bishul Akum. So the Gemara asks, how can you say categorically that if the guy, if the Jew puts it on the fire and the guy flips it, that it is not Bishul Akum? That's not true. Because If it's not yet ma'achol ben drusoy, there should be bishul akum. So the Gemara answers, Hussam could go into osvei besilta v'shaklei ove kochavim v'osvei betanura. Who wants to explain this answer to me? The osvei besilta v'shaklei ove kochavim v'osvei betanura. Adina?
The case of that Rabbi Yochanan talked about for Macha ben Drusai is specifically a case where it was on the fire and then they took it off the fire. And then if it was taken off the fire before it was Macha ben Drusai and then Obi Kohen put it back on the fire, then it would be Usser. But
okay.
If it was already Macha ben Drusai, then Obi Kohen put it back on the fire, then it would be Usser.
Great. So you just skipped one important word in your summary of the Gemara, the word silta. What's silta mean? Basket. Right? In other words, whenever I flip a burger, if you think about it, whenever you flip a burger, you're taking it off the fire, no?
So you literally take it like...
So, osve besilta means you put it in a basket. The only time that there is going to be bishul akum is when it is not yet kemaychol ben drusoy. The guy takes it off the fire and puts it in the basket, and then the guy puts it back on. No? That's when it will be bishul akum. If it comes off of the fire before Macho ben Drusoy. If it's off before Macho ben Drusoy, then there is going to be bishul akum. Now, we have to just pause over here and make one point, or 2 points, depending on our mood. The Bach, we know, was Rabbi Yoel Sirkis. He was the chief rabbi in Krakow, no? He had a son-in-law named the Taz. They probably didn't get along, because like the Taz is like always arguing with his father-in-law, including over here. I imagine that like Shabbos meals are probably kind of like exciting. I don't know, but then again, I always imagine that like the Shabbos meals by Rebbe Yoshiv were also totally nuts, no? Because like you have Reb Chaim Kanievsky over there, who's like the most boring Lamdan in Judaism, just like knows everything, and you have Reb Yitzchak Zilberstein, who like he's a wild, and your father is into Reb Yitzchak Zilberstein's firm now, like the Baharevna or something. Right? Reb Yitzchak Zilberstein is like wild and kooky. He has like interesting ideas. What? You have no idea what I'm talking about. What? You know what I'm talking about. He has like these nutty shilas that like, they also say, by the way, that Rebbe Yoshiv like wasn't like so personable, and like his Shabbos meals would be like 15 minutes. It was like really quick. So, whatever, what can we do? So the Gemara says that if you take it off before Ma'achol ben Drusoy, and then you put it back on, there is bishul akum. Comes along the Bach, and the Bach says this entire halacha is only if a Jew takes it off. But if a guy takes it off before Macho ben Drusai, and then the guy puts it back on, so you could tell that guy, in Yiddish of course, gay pfeifen von dem, get lost, I'm not interested in what you did, I put the food on, right, think about it, I put my hamburger on the fire. My guy comes, picks it up, puts it in a basket, and then puts it back on. So I can say, hey guy, what right do you have to mess up my hamburger? That's what the Bach says. So the Bach says this halacha is only if a Jew takes it off, then it's going to be usher. But if a guy takes it off, so the Bach Tainas is going to be mutter, because effectively, what right do you have to take it off and to asser my food? What right do you have to asser my stuff? Hello, Rachel.
Hello. It could be that we totally just misunderstood, but the braisa that comes to describe this point doesn't, like, wouldn't be kind of pointless then? Like, meaning the braisa is coming to teach that, how we understood it, that, like, if a Jew starts a cooking process and goes and leaves and comes back and there's a non-Jew, like, stirring thing, you don't have to assume, you don't have to worry that, like, the Jew.
But you're talking about the next case in the Gemara? The Tanya Nami Hachi?
Exactly, the Braisa.
So, we could do the Tanya Nami Hachi. I thought the only difference in the Tanya Nami Hachi is that this says I'm allowed to do this l'chatchila. Right? The Jew is allowed. He doesn't. You don't have to be worried about anything.
Yeah, what? Then he took it off and put it back on. No.
You don't have to worry about that because it was already Maichol ben Drusoy, so it's not going to be a problem. I don't have to worry about anything.
I thought the chap was that he right. The Jew puts it on. A non-Jew starts stoking it or whatever, and the Jew leaves and he comes back.
The guy is going to be mahapech. Oh, okay. I could say it like the Ritva learns the Gemara like this. I don't have to worry that the guy took it off the oven and put it in the basket and then put it back on. Because
right.
You don't gain anything by doing that. And if the guy just flips the burgers on the coals, that doesn't answer anything.
So wouldn't this price be irrelevant for the reading of the
Bach?
Because that's meaning you don't have to worry, you wouldn't worry either way, even if the guy did take it off and put it back.
But the Bach would say that this is going to be permitted even l'chatchila. It could be then the other case it's only permitted b'di'eved. In this case it's permitted l'chatchila because I don't have to worry that they took it off the oven. The Bach would say if they put it in the basket, it's much b'di'eved. If it stays on the... Right. Yeah, let's just, once you got me into reading this braisa, I'll continue reading it because I have one girsa point to make, which I hope you like. If you don't like it, so I'll say it anyway. Shofesas isha kedera agabe kira. A woman could put a pot on the kira. A kira was the type of stove that they had at the time. The Gemara, this whole parak in Shabbos called kira. Basically, it's makom shfisa shtei kederos, right? There's like an inner part and then an upper part. You could have one pot inside, like a crock pot that goes inside, and then one pot on top. So you could put a kedera al gabe kira, ubas ovedas kochava umegisa, acha tavomi beis hamerchatz, omi beis hakneses, ve'ena chosheshes. And the woman could come, a goyish woman could come and stir it until the Jew comes back from the beis hamerchatz, she's going to chveis take a bath, or she's going to shul, and you don't have to worry. So you see from the girsa on this Gemara that women go to shul. Now, there's another girsa, Beit Midrash, that would say that women actually went to yeshiva to learn. Look in the girsa of the Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel changes the girsa, no? Do you have the Rabbeinu Chananel on the side of your page?
Yeah.
What does Rabbeinu Chananel say? Min Hashuk. What does he not have? He doesn't have Beis Knesset. Rabbeinu Chananel says, it's not shayach that the women are going to shul. Obviously, they're going shopping. Just learning the pshat with you, no? The Farish and the Rabbeinu Chananel. There is a whole discussion in Hilchos Nida, no? Hilchos Nida, the Shulchan Aruch says a woman is supposed to do two bedikos each day during the Shiva Nekiyim. The earliest source of this is in the Smag. And the Smag says that she should do one bedika in the morning, kisha kama mimitasa, when she gets out of bed. And the second bedika, ba'arvis, kisha holeches, lebeis kinesis. Which not only says that women go to shul, but they go to shul to daven ma'ariv, which is the minig in Mount Sinai Jewish Center, but I don't know if it's the minig in other places on this planet. It's a very good minig. Rav Soloveitchik felt that it's a big mistake for women to only daven twice a day. That unless it's like extenuating circumstances, women should daven shacharis, mincha, and ma'ariv every day. I don't think they teach this in seminaries, do they? What?
As a granddaughter of the Rav, Esther Rosenberg does. Esther
Rosenberg.
Child at her bat mitzvah who had to start davening three tefillos a day, and she was told out of place.
Makes sense. I mean, the Rav was medayik in the Rambam, that women are supposed to daven three times a day. This has not really caught on. It's a nice thing. Why not? If you can. When I first got married, so I told my wife that even the Rishonim who assume that Nashim are Paturas from Tfilos Meiriv, but if you look in the Perish Hara'ah, in the Perish of Ravion, Maseches Brachos, they say that if it's a Meiriv, when you add in something special, like Tfilos Arvis Leil Shabbos, or Tfilos Arvis Motzai Shabbos, and you have to say Atochan Antonu or something, so women are obviously obligated in those Tfilos. So I told my wife that she should daven Meiriv Friday night on Motzai Shabbos. She's like, I'm sleeping. Which she does, which I think is a very old minhag. Okay, fine. Let's go on. Now, the point is, Azoy, the Bach has a diuk, I don't know if it's a diuk from a pshat in the Gemara, where the Bach says that if it's not yet Macho Ben Shusoy, and the goy takes it off the fire, then even if the guy puts it back on, it can't become usher. Because the guy, his, the lashon on the bath is lav kokamine. The guy has no ne'emanus, no ability to make it usher. L'cha Omer, what the Bach is saying, is based on the principle that we have in Maseches Yevamos and elsewhere, of it comes up in Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Daled, and Gimel Nun Daled, the Ein Adam Oser Davar She'ena Shalom. I have no koach to aser your thing. No? I have no koach to aser your thing. Now, when I speak about Ein Adam Oser Davar She'ena Shalom, the Taisvis in Yevamos on Daf Pei Aleph asks Akasha, if Ein Adam Oser Davar She'ena Shalom, so let's say I walk into your house on a Friday afternoon when you're cooking your chalant and you have meat in your chalant and I pour milk in your chalant. Why shouldn't I say Ein Adam Oser Davar She'ena Shalom? Isn't that a frightening Kasha? Best kula in Judaism. Ein Adam Oser Davar She'ena Shalom. I can't answer your stuff. So if I walk into your house and I take my milk and I pour my milk in your chalant, so why don't I say Ein Adam Oser Davar She'ena Shalom? Taisus in Yevamos Pei Pei Aleph somewhere. Taisus asks this Kasha. Mindy?
I don't know an answer. I have a further question. Why would you just say that without
Bishul Akum in general? That, no, so again, Bishul, if I give you permission, so then you could answer my stuff. That's clear in the Gemara. Let's say I put up my brick and I say to some guy, please bow down to my brick. So in that case, I'm giving you permission to answer my thing. I want you to do it. But without my permission, you can't answer my stuff.
Right, so it was non-Jew without permission to Jews
meet
and cook it all the way through.
So, the Chokas Binyamin asks Mindy's question. He says, one second, if I'm worried about Ein Adam Oser Davar She'ena Shalom, so then forget about this razzle dazzle case where the Jew starts cooking it and the guy takes it off and then the guy puts it back. Any case when the guy comes into my house and cooks my stuff, Ein Adam Oser Davar She'ena Shalom, and Zog Besser, say more, even if another Jew cooks my stuff. Right? Or even if another Jew takes the stuff off my stove and then the guy puts it back, I could say, hey, dear Jew, what right do you have to make it usser? Right? Had you just left it here, it'd be mucher the whole time. What right do you have to take my pot off my fire and make it usser? So they ask this kasha on the Bach. It's very hard to understand the Bach. Maybe in a minute I'll say a different pshat in the Bach, but Adina has a comment.
I'm not sure about the Jew part taking off, but can you say that for all the other cases, that the concept of Ein Adam Oser Davar She'ena Shalom only implies when there isn't like something that like in actuality has changed? So for example, the chalent, now there's something that's changed within it, even with the meat.
So the Balei HaTosfos answer in Yevamos Daf Pei, Pei Aleph, wherever the Tosfos is, that I don't say Ein Adam Oser Davar She'ena Shalom by an Iser that's a Metzius. Right? In other words, Basar B'cholav, the Isser is that there's milk and meat that taste milky, meaty. So, of course, that's going to be Asr. But by an Isser which is based on Machshava, then I could say, Ein Adam Oser Davar She'ena Shalom. For example, bowing down, no? If I bow down to your house, if I bow down to your animal, it doesn't become Asr, because Ein Adam Oser Davar She'ena Shalom. Right? Do not try this, by the way. You could still be killed for worshipping Avodah Zarah, even though the item doesn't become usher as a cheftz of Avodah Zarah. So don't try it. But the point is, I say Ein Adam Oser Davar She'ena Shalom by an Isser al Yedei Machshava. But an Isser al Yedei Maisa, I don't say it. Now, what's interesting over here by this case of taking it off the taking it off the fire, is if you look in the Ritva says lashonos that sound very similar to a sugya in Shabbos. Remember, in Shabbos, we have the dinim of hachazara on Shabbos. Hachazara on Shabbos is that I could have a pot on the open fire, let's say, pot on the open fire, and I pick it, right? You thought of this when you read the Ritva?
But no, my grandparents do this every Shabbos with their
chalent. So you take it off the chalent, take it off the pot, and off the fire, and it could be Uldan biyadai daitai lahachzir. You're still holding it, and you have in mind to put it back. So in the kuliyama, you're allowed to just put it back, providing the fire is garfakotim. If you have a blech, right, the fire is covered. So uldan biyadai daitai lahachzir, you could put it back. That is the kula of hachazara on Shabbos. Again, assuming it's also mavushal kol tzarko. You can't do this if it's not yet fully cooked. Nachon? That's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Beautiful halacha, wonderful din. The Ritva over here says that in our Gemara, when we talk about osvei besilta, that they put it in the basket, what that means, like the Ritva, is it's not odan biyado. In other words, the Ritva is shtelling tzu, is quoting, to shtel tzu is to make a tzu shtel. Right? The Ritva is quoting, this will actually help you all in your dating careers, because the more Yiddish you know, kayadua, the better chance you have, right? Tehillah? Doesn't this make perfect sense?
Hardly.
Eitan is like totally into Yiddish, right?
Totally.
Totally, right? You see, I know my future nephew, right? Not at all, but the basic yesod is that the Ritva is shtelling tzu, is connecting this to the sugya in Shabbos, where he basically is saying that osvei besilta is because in that case it is hiniach al gabei karka. It is the case that the Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Ches Lamed Tes assumes is considered bitol shehiyo harishona. I'm allowed to put it back on the fire if it's a continuation of the original process. If I put it down on the ground, so I'm not continuing the process, it's like a new process, so then I can't put it back on the fire. The Ritva is basically saying that our Gemara is the same as over there. Now, just like by the halacha of Hachazara, Yesh La'ayin, if the real Isser is based on the Das, or the lack of Das to return it, or if the real Isser is based on Hiniach HaGabe Karka, right, that's a whole discussion in the poskim. If I come into your house and I pick your pot up and I put it down. Now, did this ever happen that you go to someone's house or you do this in your own house that instead they send you into the kitchen and you're supposed to take the chicken soup out, and instead of the chicken soup you take out the cholent and you put it down, then you open the pot and you're like, oh my gosh. No? That's like a very common shayla that comes up. It's like the big mystery. Let's say it looks the same. Right, fine. So, again, whatever. You're not like... You're getting me on the Metzius over here. Huh? I mean, so the question is, the Ran has a kula that the only time when Hachazar is be'isr is if you took it off on Erev Shabbos and you put it back on Shabbos. So the Ramah says that some people are maker like that Ran, and you could be maker like that Ran in cases of Tzorech Gadol, but the later poskim say never be maker on the Ran. Rav Salvechik was maker like this Ran in Boston.
Oh.
Right? The Rav felt... The Rev allowed people on Shabbos morning to like take food out of the refrigerator and like put it on the stove, providing it was on the stove, B'knisas HaShabbos. Right? This is, it's like a thing. Your grandparents do that, yeah? How do you almost say?
Yeah. What?
Interesting. Your other grandparents. Gotcha. Right? I spent a Shabbos with them once, but that was like a long time ago. I don't remember. Okay, Rachel.
Is the... between
Mitzias
and
Machshava,
like just another form of saying Chatzan
Yes. I mean, like, with tweaking, you could say it that way, correct. In other words, an Isser that's based on Machshava is a din in the Gavra, a din in the Mitzias is more in the Chefta. You could say it like that. Although there are cases that are a little bit sticky, like the Isser of Hachazar on Shabbos, and this case, as the Ritva understands it, that it's not really clear. When I put it down on the ground, is it the pshat that there's a mitzius, that it's no longer hemshech habishol, or is it the pshat that I didn't have das to be mamshech habishol? It's not abundantly clear. When we learn Bishul B'Shabbos, if you learn Bishul B'Shabbos, so then there is a lot that could be said about this. But Hayotze, for our purposes, okay, I'm confusing things a little too much, but the Bach assumes that if a guy takes it off, so then it's going to be mutter. The Chelkas Binyamin asks on the Bach, He says, one second, if it's going to be mutter when the guy takes it off because ein adam osir davar she'eino shelo, so then in any case of bishul akum, a guy cooks my stuff, I could say ein adam osir davar she'eino shelo. So the Chelkas Binyamin in the footnote comes up with the following suggestion. Maybe what the Bach means is as follows. Let's say the guy took the stuff off my fire, and then the guy puts it back on. When the guy puts it back on, the guy's kavanah is not really to do bishul. The guy's kavanah is to cover himself or herself. The guy is worried, oh my gosh, they're going to kill me because I just tampered with that Jew's pot. So therefore, I'm putting it back on. So maybe in that case, it's going to be mutter, according to the Bach, and that case alone. But in the case of the guy's mamish intending for bishul, in other words, the svara for bishul akum is because of kiruv hadas. Over here, maybe we could argue that there's zero kiruv hadas in what the guy is doing, because since the guy took the pot off the fire, and then the guy himself or herself is putting it back on the fire, the guy isn't doing it because the guy wants to kiss up to me, become friendly with me. The guy is putting it back on the fire because the guy wants not to be killed. No?
It's not
Hefer. What?
It's not Lufra.
One could suggest, just as a perush in the Bach, that that's what the Bach means and there's no kiruv hadas. But the Taz, Lemaisa, and the Pashtus and Shulchan Aruch, I'll get you comments in the second Adina, is that it's going to be usur even al yedei goy. That even if a goy took it off and the goy puts it back on, it's going to be usur, providing that the goy put it in the basket. If the goy just flips the burger, however, it's going to be mutter. The Ravid in his perush, which is quoted by the Ritva notes, now when we say put it on the basket, it doesn't really mean put it in the basket. The Ravid says it means put it in the place where I can't cook. Notice if I flip the burger, you know, like the people who like to show off in the burger joints and they throw it up like 200 feet? You know those guys? Like, you know, what's the burger place in the Rova? There's like one guy over there who like... What? Huh? Yeah, you know the place I'm talking about, right? There's like one guy over there who likes to really show off the way he has tremendous dexterity with burgers. So, whatever. In that case, if it goes to an area where it's not my, where it's not going to be Yad Soledis anymore, one could argue that that's the same as putting it in a basket, although according to the Ritva, that's not true. The Ravid holds, as long as it goes to an area that's not Yad Soledes, it's going to be Usser. That's the same as being in the basket. According to Ritva, putting it in the basket is based on the rules of Hilcha Shabbos, which are basically the opposite. It's like the equivalent of Hiniach HaGabe Karka in Hilcha Shabbos. Adina, you had a comment?
Yeah. For the Bach, where he says that for a guy, it's much harder if he takes it off, but we assume that it wouldn't be mutter if he started, like if he did the whole cooking process. Can't we just say that it doesn't necessarily have to do with kiruv hadas, but almost like the inertia of the process? Like,
okay.
Before the guy took it off, it was going.
And the guy took it. Used to be a Jewish process, so presumably
it
continues
because we didn't want him to do it. Like.
I mean, I'm just, in other words, once we get into Ein Adam Osir Davar She'eino Shelo, so it's harder to say that idea. You have to say some sort of different svara than Ein Adam Osir Davar She'eino Shelo. If you assume it's based on pure Ein Adam Osir, so then even if a guy does the initial cooking, it would be permitted according to the Bach, which is patently false. Elisheva, you have a comment? Okay. Should we go on in Judaism? Fine. Zok the Gemara weiter. The Gemara on Amud Beis has a question. What about the reverse case? So if a guy puts it on the oven and then the Jew does the Hafach Yisrael, so the Gemara says Kal v'chaymer. If it's Gomer b'yad Akum, it's Mutter. Gomer b'yad Yisrael, lo kol shekein. Now this Kal v'chomer, the Ran jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels and says, what are you talking about? Gomer b'yad Akum is going to be mutter because it reached Ma'achu ben Jusoy b'yad Yisrael. Gomer b'yad Yisrael, why would it be mutter? That's the Ran's kasha. And what emerges in this case is that there is a machlokas between the Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rosh. The Ram quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel and others who say that when I say Gumro Biyad Yisrael is mutter, right? The Gemara says Gumro Biyad Yisrael is mutter, So the Rabbi Yochanan sees it as that the definition of gomro is macho ben dusoi. Gomro b'yad yisrael is much according to Rabbi Yochanan, which the Ran likes, is only if the Jew finishes the cooking, meaning the Jew brings it up to a third cooking. The Rush, however, disagrees in Simin Lamed Beis, and the Rush says no. Gomro b'yad Yisrael mutter probably means that it is bishul kol tzarko. Now that's a fascinating Rush when you think about it, because what the Rush is saying lahalacha, and this by the way lahalacha is a machlokas mechaber and Ramah. The Mechaber paskins like the Rabbi Yochanan, or the Ramah paskins like the Rush. I think that's in Se'if Tes. You should just read through the Shulchan Aruch Chukah. It's a lot of fun. But the Rabbi Yochanan and the Rush are disagreeing about a very fundamental yesod. See, the Rush says, even though if it's Michael ben Drusoy, in theory, the guy cooks it to Michael ben Drusoy. So if you'd ask me a Shaila now, I'd say, Usser, no? But the Rush says, you know what, you could still make it mutter. In order to make it mutter, all you have to do is that the Jew finishes the cooking. The Jew takes it to Bishul Kol Tzarko. So even if you'd ask the rabbi a shayla at point X, the rabbi would say, oh, sir. But if you continue cooking, it's going to be mutter. This, by the way, is very nogei olamaisa. According to the Rush, let's say a guy, you come home, and your cleaning lady, your child care assistant, someone is cooking at home. You come home and you begin to say, ah! Why are you cooking? Bishalakum! And you start speaking Yiddish. And she speaks to you in Spanish. And it's just totally not a conversation. So what do? You come home and you see that the guy is cooking. The worst thing to do is to turn it off. Or to take it off the fire. That would be like Osve Basilta. Then it becomes, oh, sir. If you leave it on the fire and then the Jew stirs the pot and finishes the cooking, at least according to the Rush, it's kosher. For Ashkenazim, it's going to be kosher. For Sfaradim, shreif. The Rush holds, basically, that just like we have a kula by Bishul Akum in terms of Keruve Bishul, we also have a kula of Bishul Akum that we're going to use Michael ben Drusoy or not use Michael ben Drusoy according to what we like. A kula by Bishul Akum says if the Jew cooks it to one third, mutter. The guy cooks it to one third, but the Jew finishes it off, mutter. Either way, because kula by Bishul Akum. That's what the Rush says. Isn't that awesome? Super duper Rush. Michal, you don't think it's so awesome?
I just think that really makes more sense.
That what?
It's like we're just taking whatever makes it more convenient.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So.
That's what we're doing. This is rabbi shopping. Right? Is that the expression? Right? That's what we're doing. Right? We are, because of the kula by Bishul Akum. So just like, remember, Keruve Bishul, we said is a steer between the Gemara in Shavuos and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. But we're Mako by Bishul Akum because, come on, it's Bishul Akum. Of course we're Mako. Also, Michael ben Drusoy, right? Once it's Michael ben Drusoy, do not take it off. Once you take it off, it's going to be a big problem. Now, the Avnei Nezer and the Tshuva Simen Sadi Tes. The Beis Medrash over here has a set of Avnei Nezer, but somehow Simen Sadi Tes is not in that Tshuva because like it's like misprinted, that volume. Whoever's in charge of Kinyan Svarim for the Beit Midrash, I tell them that volume of Yoredei and the Avnei Nezer goes from Simen Sadi Ches until Simen Shin. And then they like reprint like 100 pages for absolutely no reason. Simen Sadi Tes is nowhere inside that volume. It's like totally farblondrit. But, hey, right, did I have to translate farblondrit? Messed up. Huh? Gotcha. So the Avnei Nezer basically says that he thinks this is totally in the general Machlokas Harishonim about whether I say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul on Shabbos when something is Kamacho Ben Drusoy. There's a huge Machlokas on the level of Doraisa between the Rambam and the Rashba. Every Rishon, everybody, and where everyone gets involved in this Machlokas about, you know, we say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul by Shabbos. What about if something is already Mevushul Kamacho Ben Drusoy and then you cook it all the way? Do I say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul or not? It's cooked one third. You cook all the way. Cooking it one third, you can be chayiv on Shabbos. Bishul kamachal ben drusay. The first time, you can be chayiv. But once it's cooked kamachal ben drusay, do I get kulas based on that or not? Do I say kamachal ben drusay is like the full fledged cooking? So the Avnei Nezer plays the name game over here, and he assumes that this machlokes of Rabbi Chanan and the Rosh is totally in general machlokes and algamena machlokes in Hilchas Shabbos. So far, so good. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara. The Gemara then says, Hilchasa le'inyin, the bread of Goyim. Actually, it's getting a little bit too late to begin the next topic. The next topic that I want to talk about goes back to this entire Gemara. Here, let's hear Elisheva's question, and maybe next time we learn, we'll go back to when Hashlachas Kisim helps when it doesn't help. The Pashtus in our Gemara is that Hashlachas Kisim doesn't help. Right? Like we saw. If it would cook anyway by the guy, it's going to be Usser. So if I just throw one stick in, what the guy did would cook it anyway, so it should be Usser. So the Pashtus in our Gemara is that Hashlachas Kisim should not help. And we'll have to try to defend this Gemara for all of our Ashkenazic brethren and sister, and or however the expression goes. Yeah, Ali, should I have a comment?
Is it just to confirm with, like, on Shabbos, the rush would be more machmir then?
On Shabbos, the rush would end up...
Bishul.
The rush would say that there is yesh bishul achar bishul, and that would be a bigger chumrah, correct?
There's not... With every
kula,
there's like a...
Right, in a... Right, the Rosh over here is saying a lashon like the kul of Bishul Akam. The Avnei Nezer is putting it into a general halachic category where the Rosh ends up being a chumrah by Shabbos, at least. Nachon. Rachel.
Just a broader question. It's confusing now. Like, it seems like when it comes to the Lugay L'maisa, like, we're just like, okay, pull every single kula that's possible, we just shove it all together, and so it's just like Bishul Akam anyway. But we spent like the whole first half of the semester
talking about how chumor it is.
How chumor and
everything. So we're going to have to wait. We have to go through the Gemaras with the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch, and hopefully we'll end up with something. Right now, you are correct to be confused.
Great.
Confusion is not always a bad thing. I remember when I was in high school, I once told my Rebbe like, that I'm very confused. He said, Baruch Hashem. I'm like, no, that's not the answer I want to hear. But whatever. Okay, ladies, have a good night.